Let's pray for the message. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today through these words that I have and also through the scripture, that you would, in fact, help us to understand that miracles happen through disciples and what we do as your people. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the fifth message in this series on miracles, and we have covered expectations, we've covered a definition, we've talked about miracles happen to hopeful people, and today I want to talk about miracles happen through disciples. And I want to kind of walk through what a disciple is in the context of that. Let me say, there are no cheap tricks in our work and our walk with the Lord God. We enter by the narrow gate, and the life flow of Jesus is made powerful as it stays within the bounds that God gives us most of the time. The Lord wants the flow of the Spirit to move through us, the body of Christ, the church, individually and collectively. Now, a good example of or illustration of how the flow of the Holy Spirit really works through the context of the church is kind of like a hose and the flow of water coming through it. You know, the diameter of the hose, the pressure of the water, and the amount of water makes the flow of that hose. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a hose like I've had, but that illustration works as long as you have a clear channel. But I've had hoses that have holes in them. Have you ever had those? You turn the thing on and just start spraying all over the place out of cuts and things, and it starts spraying all down. But that cuts the power of the hose down, actually, and where it's supposed to be flowing. If you look at a river during a flooding period of time, it overflows the bank and it goes all over the place. But the Lord wants us to focus and strengthen the flow of His Spirit and have us get it together so that the flow is more forceful and directional. And I think that's the context of who we are as a church. The Lord Jesus wants us to be a conduit of His miracle power by His Spirit, with the force, and they use the force where He points us in terms of that miracle flow. A person who brings about a miracle at the Gate Beautiful, which we read last week and which we're going to read here in just a minute, was because of people who were disciples. And it's very good to keep that in context in terms of how miracles really do work most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time. I'm going to read to you Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. You have it in your bulletin, but I just want you to kind of pay attention to the flow of this illustration and this story. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at that gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him with John and said, "Look at us." He fixed his attention upon them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. Now, last week I talked about miracles happen to hopeful people. That's this guy at the Gate Beautiful. But miracles actually happen through disciples who assemble and pray with regularity in their life. That means that they come and pray together and assemble and worship together on a regular basis. And for Peter and John, it wasn't just a matter of going to church and going up to the temple. It was a way of life for them. They were going up at the hour of prayer. That's the ninth hour. That's what it says. That's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jerusalem Standard Time. Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. It was a way of life. You need to understand, it was a way of life. But they could have thought like this, because some of us do and have. Can you imagine Peter and John talking and Peter saying, you know, praise God, now that the power of the Holy Spirit has descended upon us and come upon us, let's shut the temple. I mean, why do we even need to go up there anymore and pray and worship? I mean, we have the Holy Spirit. Now, we think that, though. Worship and prayer for them was part of their life. So they were just doing what they do. Now, I'm going to read to you verses 11 through 26, which is what kind of the rest of the story here. This is the cripple who's made whole here. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's, astounded. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the author of life whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. And the faith which is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for establishing all that God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet from your brethren as he raised me up. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul that does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came afterwards also proclaim these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God gave to your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your posterity shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you in turning every one of you from your wickedness. Now, miracles happen through disciples who regularly do the things that have to do with their life as these guys went up to prayer. But secondly, miracles happen through disciples who know the Word of God. In this passage that I just read, you know what I hear? I hear a guy talking who does not have a planned sermon. But what he does is, instead, the Word of God begins to flow from him towards these people. And he mentions Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Samuel and Moses. He quotes Scripture. And they declare that it is the power of Jesus' name that unlocks this whole problem of the cripple. They are people who know the Word of God well. And it helps in the outflow of the miracle power. That's what's going on. The Word of truth was brought to bear in the miracle. There was an opportunity here. And Peter took it. Then the scripture makes it clear that we are not to expect less than miracles, but we need to know what to do with a miracle if we get one. When the miracles happened, Peter and John didn't just stand there and say, "Wow!" Isn't this great, man? Look at this guy. He got up and walked. That's not what they did. People start to gather to see the miracle, but Peter and John don't just stand there and say, "Wow!" You know what they do? Peter takes the word of God, and then he starts telling them why this happened. He says, "I'm going to tell you what the Bible says about this." And he tells them who Jesus is. And he does it in a gracious, but he does it also in a very pointed way. Peter is a man who is full of the word of God, and the Holy Spirit speaks through him the word of God to these people that are gathered around to see this miracle. People that miracles happen through are disciples who follow basic patterns of life. That is, they go to worship, they pray in prayer, they know the word of God, and then they live it. It becomes second nature to them. Now, so let me ask you, do you know the word of God as it comes to you? Do you know your Bible? Do you understand the essentials? So that you're not caught unawares when some opportunity arises. One of the reasons that miracles came to and through their lives is because they knew what to do with those miracles when they happened. They used miracles to bring others to know who Jesus was. First as Savior, and then that process of making them Lord of their lives to give Him glory and honor as the power source behind the whole thing. They took the miracles that happened around them or happened through them, and then they applied them so that they could actually speak to the miracles and who Jesus was. Now, I don't know about you, but that's the kind of person I really want to be. If I'm going to be a miracle worker, one of the keys is to know the Word of God. To be able to respond to when things happen around it. That's what God wants us to do. Because we have to be able to respond when it happens. We need to be able to tell people why things happen. Now that's the kind of person I want to be. And I hope that is what you want to be as well. The third thing, miracles happen through disciples who have time to notice other people who have a need. Peter and John were not so religious that they didn't have time for people, and God help us, but we can get like that pretty easy. You know, we can be so religious we don't have time for people, and this episode could have happened like this. "Hey, Peter, it's nearly the ninth hour. We can't stop and talk to this guy. We have to go to church." But they made time for him. Miracles happen through disciples who not only take time to notice people, but they also are willing to get involved with them. And when you get involved with people, where miracles begin to happen, things get messy. Peter and John not only noticed the man, but then they got involved and they said, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." But they had time for the man. They took the man's hand and they helped him up. They were willing to get involved. Some of us act like if it's really of God, we don't need to get involved with them. If it's really of God, we don't need to move into the situation or the circumstance. We're notorious for praying for people, but we don't want to get involved with them, you know. "I'll be praying for you." You know, it's kind of like one of the sayings that I have, and I say it in a sarcastic manner, you know, if it weren't for people, my ministry would be great. Well, you know, a lot of us kind of think, if it weren't for people, my Christianity would be great. But ministry is what we're about. And that's about people. I don't minister to a building. You know, I've heard people say, I'm praying for so-and-so, and I don't doubt their sincerity. But my question is, are you also involved with them in loving them in any form or fashion? Have you ever been to see someone who is sick and said, well, I will be praying for you, and then you leave? Well, let me give you a holy kick in the rear. Next time you do that, you say, I'll be praying for you, and leave. Don't leave. Pray. Stop right then on the spot and pray with them for healing or whatever is needed in that given situation. You know, and ask for the healing or whatever. It might just scare you to death. What might happen? Fifth, miracles happen through disciples who have got guts, too. You know, I think that sometimes we need a little bit of holy boldness. I think that we are so afraid to say anything at times that we just kind of, we're kind of like weak-kneed Christians. We need some boldness. Not the kind where you say, you know, you're going to go to hell and you need Jesus. Well, that doesn't do much but alienate people. But we do need a little boldness with some understanding and some wisdom. We need to love and care and understand the people that we're dealing with and not just be a friend all the time. But sometimes if Jesus is your Savior and Lord, you need to get involved and you need to step out on faith to do some things. You know, there's an aura about true disciples of Jesus. They wait for the time when the word is supposed to be given, and then they do that. They present the gospel. They present the gospel with understanding to the people and the situation or the circumstance, and they use some wisdom in terms of their speech. One reason that a lot of us never receive any miracles is because as quick as we get one, instead of using it for the glory of God, what we do is we just rest in it. Or we use it as a crutch. It's kind of thing, well, thank God, finally I've got my miracle to talk about so I can stop and just settle down. That's not miracle flow. That's a miracle pond. It's kind of like a crutch. If you really had something, you can just sit in it. We've had a number of miracles happen in this church over the past 5 years or so. And a good number of you could give testimony to that statement if I asked you to stand up here right now and give an example. But I also know this, we can rest on our laurels. And one of the things that we can also do is you can rest on other people's laurels. And I know that we can rest on other people. And then you just kind of become a pond in which you sit and don't do anything. Well, miracles are not like merit badges. You know, the Lord wants to find avenues that he can continue to move and express his life through us and the Spirit move in the name of Jesus. You know, I don't think you want a guy standing up here who rests on his laurels. You know, I can tell you about my past 40 years in terms of ministry, and I can give you some really high moments in terms of that and when things happen. But you know what? We don't live there. We live today. Miracles happen through disciples who don't rest on their past. Miracles happen through disciples who know their resources in the name of Jesus. They recognize that Jesus is the authority and the power by which they do things. Peter and John said to this man, he said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. He didn't say in the name of Peter or John. He said in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The power that worked this miracle was the authority of Jesus' name. Now, I've given teachings on the name of Jesus in the past. And I don't know, I may give another one sometime in the future. But let me tell you something. There's lots of power in that name of Jesus. Read with me Philippians chapter 2. Verses 9 to 11, it talks about that. Here we go. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's something about the name. And Jesus talks about the authority that comes in his name. Read with me Matthew 28. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. The name of Jesus is what this church is all about. The name of Jesus will draw the line in people's lives because there is power in the name. You don't see people getting upset over the name of Buddha. The name of Jesus will begin to draw all kinds of fire from the world. It is the name of Jesus that separates us from other good organizations like the Boy Scouts or Alcoholics Anonymous or Kiwanis or the United Way. They're good, but they are not Christian. Jesus is not the head and cornerstone of their existence. Jesus is the head and the cornerstone of our existence. We have no other reason to exist. The name of Jesus will draw the line. His name will draw the line in your life as well. The name of Jesus draws fire from everywhere. All you have to do is try to live it out there in His name. He's the hope of the world and joy of heaven. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. Jesus is the head and cornerstone of His body, the church. And Jesus is the head of this church as long as I'm the spiritual leader here. Because that's where I draw the line. Jesus is the Christ. And we need to learn to move in the power of Jesus' name with His authority. There's just something about that name. Miracles happen through disciples. And if you are a disciple of Jesus, we need to walk in the miracle that God has placed in us. We need to live in the miracle of our own transformation, being thought into the newness of life through Jesus Christ. Have you thought about the miracle of your own transformation through the work of Jesus in your life? The new creation of ourselves and the miracle that that really is. For once you were dead in your sin, and now you are alive in Christ Jesus. Once you were no people, now you are God's people in the name of Jesus. We need to look at the miracle of a miracle creation that happens in us. Not just what happens around us every day. Just look at the miracle of your own life and your own life with the power of God in you in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, if you live that life out there, it'll draw lines. But you are a miracle in fact yourself. In fact, I want you to say, I am a miracle. Say it. I am a miracle. You are a miracle, for you were dead and pressed down by your sin, and Jesus raised you to new life. My people, you are a miracle. And he would have us go forth walking in that miracle power. Miracles happen through disciples who live it out on a day-to-day basis. Now, you need to know the confident assurance that there will be additional days of the miracle that is in you. I think what the Lord is saying is to look at the miracle of your work and your life. You don't live in the past. You live today. And as you look at the miracle of God's new creation in the world around you, look at the creation of God in you every day. And God the Father sustains his creation every day, and he sustains you every day. The sun comes up every day, and yet the miracle continues in you every day. You are a miracle. Say it with me again. I am a miracle. You need to come to the understanding of that as you walk in Jesus' name. Miracles happen through disciples who live it on a day-to-day basis. Now, Peter and John may have come by that place and seen that guy day in and day out. In fact, Jesus may have come by that guy when he was walking this earth and he wasn't healed then. But that day he was healed. And I don't know, I know this, that I pray for people all the time. And I do it in their presence. And I don't always see a miracle. But I've been privy to a few over the years. You don't know when you're going to be used. So what we are is we are diligent in living it on a day-to-day basis. And if it happens, you need to be in the Word so you can tell why it happens. Miracles happen through disciples who live it out. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would help us to live our discipleship. Not out of duty, not just going to church, but to show up, to worship with others, to learn your Word, so that we can be ready for those days when you call upon us to speak in your name. In the name of Jesus. Amen.